Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The dust has settled on the NFL draft landscape, but there's still much to talk about, including yours truly and Jeremy Betts' annual All Draft Teams. It is the Steelers Fix here on the Steel Curtain Network, powered by the all-new Fans First Sports Network, your one-stop shop for all things, any sport. Make sure you check out, no matter what team you are a fan of, no matter what sport you are a fan of, make sure you go and check out fansfirstsports.com. It has everything you need. So I bring in the legendary Jeremy Betts. Jeremy, we've had another week to focus in on everything that happened, all the wildness, all the crazy twists and turns of draft weekend. All of it's in the books, and we've had time to reflect on it a little bit. How are you feeling 1 week past the initial shock of, wow, the Steelers had yet another fantastic draft?
Yeah, well, first of all, they did. They did have a fantastic draft, and it feels like this team is primed for a new era of Steelers football, if you will. And that's easy to say when you consider the quarterback room's totally different. You got three new guys in the quarterback room. But I don't even think that is the biggest deal going on with the Steelers. And that's a big part of what they're changing, but we don't know any of the future for these guys. But what we do know is that Arthur Smith comes in to resurrect an offense and recreate a Steeler brand of football that is a little bit different from what the rest of the league is doing. And I think that the Steelers are building towards an identity. They want to regain their Steel City toughness, their punch in the mouth mentality, and that seems to be just the theme of the last few drafts, especially the last two. And so I think that when you have a goal in mind for how you want to do things, and offensive line getting that fixed was the goal these last two off seasons, I think that they have gone above and beyond in making sure that happens from a personnel side. Now it's up to the players and the coaches to get the most out of themselves. So we'll see how that plays out. But from a philosophy perspective, from a thematic perspective on how the Steelers are trying to play football, I think it's a 180 from what we've seen the last few years, and I'm 100% ready for it. The draft played into that so much, in my opinion.
a lot of casual fans in the NFL will look at the Steelers draft on paper and say, isn't three offensive linemen in the first four picks a little overkill? Not when you are trying to change the identity of your team, an identity that needs to change, because what your identity has been in recent years has not been good enough to get anywhere that you want to be. It may look like overkill on paper, but it was something that has been long needed for the Steelers. And in a week, you know, usually we look at news and notes that happened from the past week. Not a whole lot has really happened, Jeremy. Obviously, the undrafted free agents had been signed. Is there anyone that sticks out to you? The Steelers didn't bring in as many undrafted free agents as most teams did. I believe it was the same case last year. Maybe this is a new trend for the Steelers, just not bringing in as many players undrafted. Obviously, Beanie Bishop's the obvious one, and we'll probably get into him later in the show. But is there anyone else? Dejon Edwards, Jonrus Plumlee, Julius Welschov, Jacoby Windman. It's an interesting list, Jeremy. What is there a player on there that sticks out to you at all?
I mean, not really. it's kind of a who's who of who, you know. I can't say I'm very familiar with any of these guys. They're all going to be role players in camp. I don't see any of them making the roster except for maybe Beanie Bishop. I think he's actually got a good shot at the roster. So we'll see how it plays out. But I can't say that there's specifically a name out of this group, Andrew, that gets me really excited. Beanie Bishop has the most upside of any of them. But again, he's an undrafted free agent for a reason. There's a reason why all 32 teams passed on him 257 times. So maybe that's just a terrible oversight. We'll see in the end. But right now, the fact that he's on the Steelers roster as an undrafted free agent means he's got a chip on his shoulder and a lot to prove. We'll see if he can do it. But he's the only guy, really, that sticks out to me. I don't know about you. You know these guys a little bit better than I do.
Well, the one guy that I have my eye on is Jacoby Windman from Michigan State. And he's the guy that when we started doing the two-minute drills over a year ago, not from this past draft, but going into the 2023 class, one of the players that was mentioned was Windman. And he kind of fell off the scene this past year. He's a transfer from UNLV. In 2021, Jacoby Windman at UNLV had 119 tackles, 11 and a half tackles for loss, and 6.5 sacks. So he's a guy who can play off the edge. He can line off the edge. He can also play middle linebacker. In his first year at Michigan State, 2022, he still had 5.5 sacks and 10.5 tackles for loss. Was very productive. And this past season, only played in 3 games. So I'm not sure exactly what all happened other than injuries and different things that happened this past season that just hampered Windman. But he's a guy who's got a lot of potential. He's produced at 2 different schools. I don't know that he makes the roster, but if you're talking about a guy who could be in the practice squad and potentially develop into something, I think I would say he's better than what the Steelers had in Michael Walker, who was starting last year at time. Okay. I would definitely take Jacoby Windman over Michael Walker, and that's no offense to Michael, but just not the most gifted athlete that we've ever seen wear the black and gold. There's no other way to put it. But as we go, before we take our break, Jeremy, is there anything else that stands out to you? Is any of these guys that could push someone? You think of whether it be a Dejon Edwards, could he push a Cordarrelle Patterson? Could Windman push the depth guys there, like a Mark Robinson, for maybe whether it be for a practice squad, whatever else? Could Jonrus Plumlee potentially fight us for Kyle Allen with the QB3 spot? Do you see any of these actually having a fighting chance at least pushing someone? Or do you think these are guys that by the time we get to training camp may not even be on the roster?
I would like to give Windman a shot at linebacker depth, because I think for the most part, some of those guys, you know what you got in them already. So let's just move on if we're not feeling it. So I'd say maybe give him an opportunity. Dejon Edwards is interesting to me. He's a compact, powerful runner. University of Georgia. He's got a little bit of experience, but he wasn't one of the high profile backs that we've seen come out of Georgia in recent years. So I think that he might have a shot as the RB3, but I don't think he's a needle mover personally. in that room specifically. The one guy I would keep an eye on as maybe a really good shot to make the practice squad throughout the season is actually the quarterback, Jonrus Plumlee. And the reason being is that he brings a mobility factor that you don't want Justin Fields running the squad team during the week. Kyle Allen doesn't give you anything athletically. So let's run Jonrus Plumlee back there to simulate some of the more athletic quarterbacks that are going to be on the Steelers' schedule this season. So that's a way I could see him making the roster for the Steelers, and that's a vital role for what the Steelers want to do. So very interesting type player to me. I know there's been talks of a position switch as well for him across the league, but it sounds like when he was signed on that the Steelers said, you're coming here to compete at quarterback in camp. So we'll see how it plays out, but he's a guy I could see making the roster on the practice squad in that type of role.
Well, as all these things unfold, Steelers fans, make sure you are checking out the steelcurtainnetwork.com. We're going to have everything for you as news and notes come in throughout mini camp, training camp, everything that's going to happen between now and the beginning of the regular season. But when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it's our annual all draft team show. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. We have a lot of fun with this, and you're going to enjoy it. Yep. Hope that you'll play along with us. So don't go anywhere. The Steelers Fix will be right back after this.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the second half of the Steelers Fix. Andrew Wilbar and Jeremy Betts back with you. Jeremy, we love doing this exercise. It is the all draft team. And we've changed a little bit for those that aren't familiar with this. It's something that I had started about five, six. It would have been 2017. So this is going on, what, year seven, year eight, something like that. It's kind of changed a little bit since I started. I still do the original choosing one player from each round and then having some backups or alternative options behind that. But what we've done on the show this past, the last year and as well as this year, we've created an all 22 roster, all 22 spots on the roster. And you have some flexibility as to what formation you want your primary offense and defense to be run out of. But with the 22 players, you have three players from each round, rounds one through seven. And you also have to choose one player that was an undrafted free agent that you want to fit into your starting 22. And you want to make the best 22 as possible. So you may have a player that you really liked. You liked the fit. You liked everything about it. But there were too many other players in the round where you had to choose someone else because some player in round two you really wanted to get. And so you had to kind of count the cost. So you'll kind of understand it a little bit more as we go throughout this exercise. And you'll kind of see how we fill out our rosters individually. We tweaked one rule a little bit this year. In the past, we've never allowed really anything out inside the top 10 to be selected. But just considering how the quarterbacks went off the board this year and going so early, we allowed for a quarterback inside the top 10 to be chosen on each of our teams. So what's interesting, we're going to get to the round one picks later, but breaking news, neither of us have Caleb Williams on our all draft, which I find very interesting. But Jeremy, let's start at the back end, the undrafted free agent. And this one's sometimes the difficult one, but we always have our undrafted free agents we like that fall to the end. Where did you go for your undrafted free agent? What position is he going to fill on your roster?
Yeah, I think we have the same one, Andrew. He's going to be the nickel corner we just talked about before the break, and that's Beanie Bishop. I think that he can compete for a starting role pretty quickly for a team that has major holes at nickel. And I just like his mentality, the way he plays, the physicality and feistiness with which he plays, despite being a little bit undersized. He's a quick player, a smart player. I think he's going to find some kind of role in Pittsburgh, whether he's a starting nickel or just a rotational guy. I think he's going to play for the Steelers this season. So I really like him, and that's why I went with him at nickel.
Yeah, I had him as well. If Sean Stevens had been officially signed, I might have chosen him instead. But since he is just an invite, he technically wouldn't count as an undrafted free agent acquisition. So I'm going to go with Bishop as well. They were neck and neck on the board. But I like the feistiness Bishop plays with. I'm hoping he makes the roster, especially if the Steelers don't bring in anyone else to compete at nickel. I would expect something before the season. But right now, I think Bishop's got a chance to see significant playing time. Yeah. Based on who the Steelers have on their current roster. Let's move to round seven. Obviously, we have three players each, Jeremy. Where did you go with these three players, and why did you go in that direction?
Yeah, two of them are in my secondary, Andrew. So I've got an undrafted rookie and two seventh-rounders in the secondary. So we'll see how that plays out for my team. But I think the value here is pretty good. So I went with Kalen King out of Penn State. And here's why I like this pick. It's because this is a guy who had first round hype as late in the process as February, Andrew, and just it all fell off a cliff for Kalen King. So if he is still there in the seventh round with the upside that a good number of scouts and evaluators had as a potential first round pick, I don't care what you saw athletically. I don't care what you saw when you go back and look at the tape a little bit. If he was getting first round hype at some point and he goes in the seventh, that's good value for your team. So I love it that the Packers go this route late in the draft for a guy with that type of upside. So we'll see how it plays out for them. But Kalen King in the seventh round. I also got James Williams in one of my safety slots on the back end in the seventh round. I like him there. And then I went with guard KT Leviston to the Rams in the seventh round as a guy on my offensive line. I like his size. I like his physicality. And I think adding higher profile players to other positions makes sense. And you can sit there at safety and guard and kind of get away with maybe some toolsy prospects that go later in the draft.
No, it's an interesting perspective. I'm looking at the secondary, and it definitely with Kalen King, everything he says right. I would say that I would be concerned that we have a little Philadelphia Eagles secondary from this past year, but sure. Nonetheless, I mean, that's what makes this interesting, because you have to pick and choose where you want your strengths to be or where you're confident in those later rounders. So I like the strategy. For me and my 3/7, I went with Jalen Harrell, outside linebacker from Michigan, not my favorite player from the University of Michigan, but I felt like the edge rush depth, while it was not great this year, Harrell was someone who has more upside, hasn't really reached his full potential from what he ever produced at Michigan. So he's one guy. I went with Travis Clayton, the United Kingdom offensive lineman, who's more of a project. But if you can run 4.79 at 307 pounds, sign me up. This guy's got all the athleticism in the world. I'm going to put him at right tackle on this team, let him develop over there on otherwise what I think is a pretty solid offensive line, as we'll get into as this unfolds. And then my other one, I went with Jaheim Bell, and he's a guy that we talked about last week as a versatile piece. He's not an inline tight end, but you put him out in the slot, he'll fend off those linebackers. He'll fend off those nickel corners. He can block a little bit out there. And he's got some athleticism as well, as we saw at the scouting combine this past year. A very versatile piece that I think is a very good fit in New England. Let's move to round 6, Jeremy. I'm hoping that we're not going back to the secondary again here. Where are you going here in round 6?
Yeah, not back to the secondary here. I'm actually going to the offensive line, and I've got Christian Mahogany out of Boston College going here at guard to the Detroit Lions. I thought this was a great value pick for the Lions. I thought Mahogany could have gone pretty early on day 3 and maybe even snuck in to late day 2. But he goes in round 6, and I love the upside there. Kind of a bully along the offensive line for Detroit. I think he's a good stylistic fit there as well. Christian Boyd to New Orleans out of Northern Iowa. This is a fun prospect, Andrew. I don't know if you got to watch him, much of his tape this season, but when he wins, it's so quick, and it's just incredible to watch. But there are definitely times where he gets stood up a lot. So the wins are fantastic. The losses are bad as well. So it's kind of a really big hit or miss type player. But if he can play to his hits and play to his strengths, then I think that he can be a good player in this league. And then this one I didn't feel great about, but I went with Cedric Johnson, outside linebacker / defensive end, to the Bengals. And I just kind of like this for the Bengals. That's why I put this here, because they're just trying so hard to find pass rusher help that it makes sense that you take swings here. And this is a guy with a nice physical profile, not a lot of production, but I like him here out of the 6th round on defense here. Just trying to give me some pass rush upside off the edge.
I really like the Boyd pick there. And like you mentioned, he's quick. He's got a quick first step. He knows how to split the gaps, get small, and get inside those nooks and crannies in the line. And like you said, when he gets stood up, it really comes down to pad level. If he can improve that pad level overall, he's got a lot of upside. And in New Orleans, where he's not going to be thrust into the fold immediately, I think that's a good landing spot for Christian Boyd. Very good landing spot in New Orleans. Get to learn under Dennis Allen. It's going to be a really good fit for him. For me, in the 6th round, I went with Nathaniel Watson, the inside linebacker. I love that pick for the Browns. He's a tackle machine. He can blitz. Love Nathaniel Watson. He just produced. Even though he's not the most athletically gifted, he's going to find a role with the Browns. I also went with Christian Mahogany at guard. I believe I had a late 3rd round grade on this guy. I mean, he's a player. He can move people off the football, and he's pretty schematically versatile as well. So I like that about him, and the Lions lost some depth along the interior with Frank Ragnow. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I was going to say, which did you like better value-wise? Did you like Mahogany to Detroit, or did you like the Steelers selection of McCormick in the 4th round? They're pretty close, but I know you had those guys ranked pretty closely as well.
Yeah, man. I would say the landing spot is better for McCormick just because he's still a little raw and he doesn't have to start. Mahogany, he's one... I guess you could argue McCormick could be one injury away from starting, but the Steelers do have other guys there already along the interior that have been proven vets, like Herbig and the other guys that are still in that room. So I would say that I would go with McCormick just because of the landing spot. I like the value of that. Although the board, based upon picks, the pick differential from where I had him ranked to where it was Mahogany. I think that his landing spot may not be have been quite as good. I think he fills a big need for the Lions. But I believe that that the one who is in better position to succeed long-term is Mason McCormick because of where he landed and just how the entire line is lining up seems to be a good fit for his game. Both were outstanding values. I just
thought that that's a good conversation for like Steeler fans with the McCormick signing and or pickup and everything like that. It's when you're talking value along the interior of the offensive line, it's a little bit easier to find that later in the draft because it's not as highly valued as the tackles and even the centers kind of get a boost over the guards a little bit. But you're seeing kind of a turn back to some teams want to play bully ball and they're going after these guards. The Lions are kind of one of those teams. They want to run the football. The Rams, the Steelers, they want to run the football and they're placing value on these guards. It's fun to watch actually that these guys are getting a little bit more pop in the draft process.
No, I agree with you. I like that a lot. Moving on to round five, I think we got through that one. Yeah. Oh, Malik Washington was the other one. So Nathaniel Watson. Yep. And then Malik Washington. I'm surprised he fell down that far. I'm not saying he's Steve Smith Jr. Almost said Steven Sims, another guy I really like. But Steve Smith, I don't think he's that. But this guy's a worker. He's going to put in the effort. And I know it's a crowded wide receiver room in Miami that who just added Odell Beckham. But I think he finds a role on this team as early as maybe year one. He's going to find a spot, and his role is only going to grow as time goes on. But let's move to round five. Jeremy, the Steelers did not have a pick in the fifth round, so obviously we know there's no Steelers here. But I tell you what, the value in the fifth round, there were so many players, so many fits I loved in the fifth round. I could have named six or seven picks that I would have loved to have had if I had those opportunities. I almost felt like getting rid of some of my fourths and my thirds just to use these fifth rounders. But where did you go in the fifth round? There's so many options here.
Yeah, I've got two more offensive linemen in the fifth round, Andrew. And I've got SVP, not Scott Van Pelt, Cedric Van Praan. Going to Buffalo, love that pick for the Bills. I mean, to me, and I know to you as well, I think you picked him here as well. But he's Mitch Morse replacement right away. Day one starter could be for them. And I wouldn't bat an eye at that at all. Christian Jones to Arizona at tackle. Not the most athletically gifted guy, but just a solid player. And I thought he went later than he could have. So I like the value there for the Cardinals at tackle. And then I went with Cam Hart to the Chargers in the fifth round as well. Height, weight, speed guy at corner. And I think he blends well with Kalen King and even Beanie Bishop giving some physicality in the secondary there. And so not prioritizing the secondary with early picks, Andrew, by any stretch, but going for value here, I think that Cam Hart has some upside for the Chargers who like to play a physical brand of football in the secondary.
No, I agree with that. I love Van Praan. Hart, great value in the fifth. I wasn't as high on him as some people, but still in the fifth round, that's great value. And the Chargers lack depth on the outside. He's going to see some playing time. Van Praan could be a starter. I like those picks. And for me, obviously, I went with Van Praan. My other two that I went here were on the defensive side of the ball. I went with Quantes Stiggers, who went to the Jets, that last pick in the fifth round. I think he's – I know that –
That was a great Jets, pick.
That I don't know that he's ever going to necessarily develop into a one, but if you want a traits guy who's produced in a different type of football league – He's produced. I know it's hard to tell how well it's going to translate, but when you look at the overall traits needed to succeed at that position, the traits don't really change. It's just a mental mind. It's a mindset he's going to have to kind of change into, and just the idiosyncrasies of the game compared to the CFL that he's going to have to get used to, and not in a contact filled sport. That is the NFL. So I like Quantes Stiggers a lot. His upside. I went with him. I went with Muhammad Kamara, the outside linebacker. From Colorado State, they know how to develop their outside linebackers. I know he's not prototype size, But this guy's produced, and he's fast off the edge. He's got elite quickness. Really like this pick for Miami. And they need depth at edge rusher. I think he's going to see some third down snaps this year. And then my other one was also on the defense side of the ball, and that's Jeremiah Trotter Jr. And we talked a lot about him and how a lot of people were talking about, oh, it's just the name. That's how he's great. And he somehow falls to the fifth round. I'm telling you what, turn on the tape. This guy just finds the football. I don't know how he fell this far. I don't know if he just messed up in the interviews process or what. But I'm telling you what, when you watch this guy's tape, it's hard not to love what you see. He's not the biggest guy, but he finds a way to wrap defenders up in the open field. He's got solid instincts. And let's not forget, just a year ago, Trenton Simpson was a guy everyone was kind of high on at first and then kind of got cold on, ended up falling to the third round. I like Trenton Simpson for the most part, but if I'm being honest, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has much better instincts than what Trenton Simpson had. Much better instincts. And that's not something that you can really teach. That's just something that innately comes. So I like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. a lot. He's a great fit with the Eagles. It's a great story with his dad having played there. I think it's more than just a legacy pick. Just like we talked about last year with Joey Porter Jr. We saw how it worked out last year. The Steelers didn't just draft him because of the legacy aspect. They drafted him because he's a good football player. And I think the Eagles did the same here with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. in the fifth round.
Yeah, I agree. I love that pick. It just is a feel-good story. It's a guy with upside. And the Eagles, they decided last offseason that linebacker wasn't important. And so they shipped off all their linebackers. And then they realized about halfway through the season that linebacker is actually pretty important. It's more important than we're giving it credit for, especially when your secondary is struggling. So I think addressing that and getting in a guy with the instincts, with the pedigree of NFL bloodlines, it makes a ton of sense. That was one of my favorite picks as well. Couldn't squeeze him in here, but I really liked it.
Yeah, let's go to round four, Jeremy. And I guess we'll start off with this one, then get your thoughts, and then you can continue on with yours. I went with Jalen Wright. I love the fit in Miami. I'm just not sure how much we're going to see in year one with Raheem Mostert still there, Devin Achane. There's still a lot of depth he's going to have to overcome. But I think long-term, Jalen Wright could be a really good fit here in Miami in this offense. He has a ton of upside, good vision, good speed. My other two that I went with here were both at safety. I went with our boys Malik Mustafa and Jaden Hicks, two guys that have versatility. Mustafa's a little bit smaller, but I'm still playing him at strong safety because of his downhill mentality. Hicks can play either pretty much at the same level, and he's long.
Yeah.
He's got enough speed. He's got ball skills. I like Jaden Hicks a lot. He just does everything well, even though he doesn't have one outstanding trait. He does everything really well, and I think he lived in a good spot in Kansas City. I love having those two guys in the back end of my secondary there. So, if you have any thoughts on that, can add it. If not, can just go ahead with yours.
Yeah, I actually had Jaden Hicks too. I love the landing spot, first of all. And I don't know, Andrew, I kind of think discount Kyle Hamilton when I think Jaden Hicks. And I'm not saying he's going to turn into an all-pro player. Obviously, that's why I said discount. But he's a guy that has a lot of those similar traits, the length, the coverage ability. I have him as my free safety as well, and I really like that. I went with Cade Stover going to Houston to pair back up with former college teammate CJ Stroud. It just made too much sense, and he kind of slides in behind Dalton Schultz. He doesn't have to be the guy at tight end, but I think he's a hardworking player. He's got some pass catching upside in the league. He's got good production overall in college for the tight end position. If you look across the country, it's not a position that gets a ton of pop. There's one or two guys every year. This year it was Brock Bowers. But outside of that, it was kind of just pick your flavor. And Cade Stover in the fourth round made a lot of sense to me. Really like that. And I couldn't believe, Andrew, that Troy Franklin lasted all the way to the fourth round. He was an absolute steal for the Broncos, in my opinion, to pair again with former teammate Bo Nix. That was a great selection to me by the Broncos. I think he's got a ton of upside. He does flash some inconsistency, but when he gets in the open field, he's dangerous. When he gets behind you, he's dangerous. He's got a lot of skills that I really like. So those were my three guys in the fourth round.
I think it makes a lot of sense pairing the quarterback with the receiver that he's familiar with. And I really like what the Broncos did in that aspect. Well, I wasn't as high on Franklin overall. I like the landing spot because he's going to get used. And when you have a rookie quarterback that's coming in and probably has a high probability of being the starter in year one, you want to give him weapons he has some familiarity with, and that learning curve will kind of be sloped, not quite as high. It'll be a little bit curved. And I think it makes a whole lot of sense for Denver and their situation. Let's move to round three, Jeremy. We're plowing right through this, but we still have several positions, important positions that we really haven't addressed. At this point, I still only have one receiver, Malik Washington. We still have a couple spots in the offensive line that I haven't hit yet. And I know that for you, Troy Franklin was your first wide receiver as well. Yep. So where did you go here in round three?
Yeah, I went with Roman Wilson to the Steelers. I love the fit. I was really high on the pick from the beginning. I know you've kind of come around on that pick. I just think that he fits well with what the Steelers want to do. I think he is their wide receiver two in year one at some point. Maybe not day one, but at some point he's going to fill that role. He's going to be out there in two wide receiver sets alongside George Pickens. But I do like what the Steelers did there, bringing him in. I thought it was good value in the third round at pick 84 for the Steelers. So I like Roman Wilson. Jalen McMillan, though, in the third round, too, might have been my favorite wide receiver pick in the third round to Tampa. I think he can slide in into an immediate role on this team alongside Mike Evans and I'm blanking on his name right now, the slot guy, Chris Godwin. And I think that he can slot in right away there as the third receiver. He's got flexibility to play inside, outside. So it gives them a lot of potential to move guys around. I actually thought with that selection that Godwin could end up on the trade block because of the similarities in their games a little bit, but that hasn't come to fruition yet. So I really love those two wide receiver picks. That gives me my three receivers. And then I went defense with the other third round pick, and I went with Junior Colson out of Michigan going to the Chargers, reuniting with head coach Jim Harbaugh. And I just love the fit. I think that Harbaugh really loves this guy, and I think that he's going to be a good player for a long time in the NFL.
I love Junior Colson. Absolutely love him. But since we're on Roman Wilson, one of the things that I find interesting, just because of the comparison, how he compares well with Tyler Lockett. And with Russell Wilson coming in, you got to wonder how much he's going to be involved in year one. You look overall at their athletic comparisons. They're so similar in so many different ways. And you look at their profiles, I believe it was – so coming out, Tyler Lockett was 5'10", 182, 30-inch arms, 8 3/8-inch hands, ran a 4.4 in the 40, 35.5-inch vertical, 10'1" broad jump. And in his shuttle time, he was 4.07, 20-yard shuttle. Roman Wilson, 5'10" and a half, 185 pounds, 30 3/8-inch arms, literally identical. It ran a 4.39 at the combine, shuttle time 4.07. Tyler Lockett, 3 cone time, 6.89. Roman Wilson, pro day 3 cone time, 6.89.
Wow.
It's absolutely incredible how close they are. Lockett, I believe, he was 182. Roman Wilson is 185. So Roman Wilson is like maybe a half an inch taller.
Yeah,
3 pounds heavier, ran 1/100th of a faster 40 time, and literally everything else across the board is the exact same between him and Lockett. That's a scary comparison.
It really is. Now, at first you said Tyler Boyd. It is Tyler Lockett that you're
comparing. Tyler Lockett, I'm sorry. Tyler Lockett. I apologize about that.
No, you're
not
good.
Tyler
you're good.
Boyd. He's definitely not the same player as Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, I was going to say that they're a little different, but when you changed the Lockett in your conversation, that made sense. So, but yeah, I would love if he became a Tyler Lockett-like player. I think you'd be very happy if you're the Steelers and he became that. I think I gave the comparison to Amon-Ra St. Brown as like a high-end comp for Roman Wilson. And then, oh man, who did I give as kind of the lower end? I can't remember who it was, but I mentioned it on Let's Ride a couple weeks ago now with Jeff. And I just think that he's got a lot of playmaking ability. Tyler Lockett's a great comp for him. one that I hadn't thought of yet, but they're basically the same player. Andrew, good points there. Do you want me to jump into my round two guys?
Yeah, I'll just mention one of the players that you just said, Amon-Ra, just throwing it out there, a former all-draft team member.
Ah, there you go. Good deal. Good deal. All right, let's go to round two. And for me, I start on defense here. I go with another linebacker playing inside, Edrin Cooper to Green Bay. They needed linebacker help. This is a good spot for him to play alongside Quay Walker. That's a really athletic interior linebacker position there now for Green Bay, and it helps them do what they want to do. But I thought the Cowboys draft, Andrew, was a little underrated. And I think that Marshawn Kneeland in the second round is a fantastic pick for them. And adding an edge rusher with this type of ferocity to pair with their all pro, I think it is really good. I just think that you got a guy now that can blend and copy on the opposite side and allows you to do a lot of things if you're Dallas. So I really like him there. And then my final second round pick was actually Jonathan Brooks to the Panthers. Andrew, did you know Jonathan Brooks is only 20 years old? And he'll just have turned 21 when the season starts. So he's got he's got a big time career ahead of him. I think if he comes back healthy from the injury, I would bet on it. I really like what this guy can do. So going to Carolina, where I think he's going to get playing time pretty quickly, could be a huge for him as well.
I agree with that. And I just realized I made one mistake on my team, because I was looking for the third round picks and I realized that I had 4 5th round picks, because we mentioned Van Pran. I put Trotter, Kamara, and Stiggers in there as well. Easy fix, I'm going to swap out Colson for Trotter Jr. just because that's the easy thing to do, and not to take from yours, Jeremy, but I got to put another Michigan man in there when I can. My other two third rounders, I didn't even think to mention, was Zach Zinner, another Michigan guy, and then Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. So those were my 3 third rounders. And I like the second rounders that you just put in. I really like them. And you look at Jonathan Brooks. I'm not a big fan of taking running backs early, but once you get into that round two range, that's kind of the sweet spot. Late round two, early round three, that's the time to get a premier running back. And I think Brooks can be that once he's fully healthy from that knee injury. I'm just happy for Bryce Young. He may actually have a chance to prove what he has this year. Yes. Now that he has at least something as it pertains to weaponry. But the other, for me in round two, I went with Kingsley Suamataia. I wanted to go with one of the round one tackles, but I just didn't have any round one pick available. So I love Suamataia, his fit in Kansas City. He was a target of theirs in round one. They get him in round two. Absolutely great pick for Kansas City. How many times have we mentioned Kansas City players? It seems like we mentioned this several times already.
Good draft for them.
Absolutely incredible. But I went with Suamataia. I went with Braden Fisk from Florida State, defensive lineman, an effort guy. I'm confident in that one. And then I went with that top guy at the beginning of the round, and Keon Coleman there. I think he's going to have an immediate chance to be that guy in Buffalo. But Jeremy, we got 3 picks left each. So the positions, if I remember correctly, so for me, neither of us have had quarterback. We both know that it's going to be quarterback. I still have a defensive lineman and a corner left. You still have a defensive lineman and
a tackle left. Yeah.
Offensive tackle left. So we have premier positions still left on the board.
Yes.
Where did you go? Let's start with the quarterback. Get the quarterback out of the way. We said at the beginning of the show, it's not Caleb Williams. Where did you go at quarterback?
It could have easily been Caleb Williams for me, but that was too chalk for me, Andrew. So I went with the guy I think has the most upside if he hits his ceiling of any of these guys, because of the prototypical size, because of the big arm, the athleticism. To me, it's Drake May. And I absolutely hate it that he went to the Patriots and that he's in the AFC. As a Steelers fan, that is disheartening to me, because I believe in this kid. I think he's got a ton of upside, and I think New England got themselves a stud here if they can coach him up, if they can put a team around him. It's going to take some time for him. He's not going to be a guy who steps in day one and looks like a franchise altering player, I don't think, because of the team around him. But I just think that you got to love that the Patriots got him at three, and he was my top quarterback on the board, even over Caleb Williams, because of the size, because of the arm strength. And, you know, Caleb's got a great skill set as well. He's probably going to be the best of these quarterbacks, the quickest, because of the supporting cast around him. But I just think that Drake May overall was my favorite quarterback in this class, and I love him. Love him for the Patriots. I hate it that he is a Patriot and in the AFC, though.
I agree with his potential. It's going to come down to how quickly they rush him in. Hopefully, for his sake, they're patient and he has enough time to develop. Maybe sit for that first year.
Yes. Can do wonders. Jacoby Brissett is just fine this year. No need to rush it. But definitely figure out the player, too. If you think Drake May is going to learn best by being in there, then play him. Just don't get him hurt. Just don't ask him to do too much. Let Ramondre Stevenson cook. I mean, don't try to win games. You know, if you're the New England Patriots and you leave the 2024 season knowing that Drake May is your guy and having a top five pick, you're in great shape.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, they're not winning this division barring an absolute miracle. So it's best for them to look definitely toward the future. I went with Jaden Daniels as my quarterback. While I don't know how well he will produce in year one compared to maybe a J.J. McCarthy who has all of the weapons already there, I think that there's a lot of upside with Daniels. I think he's one of the safer picks in this draft just with his combination of mobility and his arm strength. He's got a really good arm. And, I mean, even going back to the days of Brandon Ayuk, I'm curious to see if that's where Brandon Ayuk ends up getting moved. That'd be cool to see him get reunited with Jaden Daniels. But I
that's
digress.
That's crazy to me that they were teammates in college at one point.
I know. It seems like forever ago.
It was. It was crazy.
I remember evaluating it. I mean, at that time, I thought Jaden Daniels was going to be a top five pick in the draft. And then he fell off a cliff. I'm like, well, messed up that one. And then he all of a sudden resurrects himself in the dead. I'm like, what happened? He's back. But, Jeremy, we've both got two guys left. I'll let you go first here. We have two guys. You said that you still have an offensive tackle and a defensive lineman. Where did you go with these two picks?
Yeah, let's start with the defensive lineman because I want to finish up with the tackle. But Byron Murphy to Seattle. Love the pick. Love the fit. He had some top 10, I guess, conversations going into the final week of the draft. I thought that was a little rich, Andrew, but I think 16 was a good sweet spot for him. Kind of surprised Seattle didn't trade out of that pick, honestly. I know you kind of were at the time as well. We were talking about that on our live stream. But to land a difference maker on the defensive front for Seattle is a big deal. I know that they have some players already there, but making that a true strength of your team is really nice. And I think Byron Murphy fits in really well there. So that's where I went with him. And then finally, our boy, Troy Fautanu to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round. I had to get him on here because I just think the versatility and the fact that they are committed to trying him at tackle, just, it makes me giddy, Andrew. I love this pick for the Steelers. And I had to put him on this list as one of my favorite picks in the entire draft.
No, I love Fautanu. He's got a ton of upside. Hopefully his career isn't shortened by the knee, but you got to wonder just at the timing of that coming out, if it was just put out there to hopefully ruin his draft stock. But I'm excited for what he could bring to the Steelers line, especially since early indications show, Jeremy, they're doing what we said all along. The Steelers should play Fautanu on the right side and move Broderick Jones to the left. And that looks like that's what they're going to try doing. So I'm
cross
excited
your fingers,
to see
yes, please.
Yes. So my other two, I went with Darius Robinson along the defensive line, later first round pick, but there's limited defensive linemen I liked in this draft, and Darius Robinson was one of them. So even though there were other first round picks I may have had higher grades on, I went with Robinson because there's only so many guys I would have accepted as a defensive lineman in this draft. I like Robinson along with Fisk and my 2-4-5 defense, Jeremy. And then I finished out with another corner, Quinion Mitchell.
Yeah.
Gonna be potentially the quarterback won by the end of the year. I wouldn't be shocked to see that in Philadelphia. Obviously, Darius Slay's still there, but definitely on the downward trajectory of his career. Quinion Mitchell is a great pick for them. One of my favorite picks of the first round. So looking at this, Jeremy, as a recap, you had Drake May, Jonathan Brooks, Roman Wilson, Troy Franklin, Jalen McMillan, Cade Stover, Troy Fautanu, Christian Mahogany, Cedric Van Pron, KT Leviston, Christian Jones, and then the defensive side of the ball, Byron Murphy, Christian Boyd, Marshawn Nealon, Cedric Johnson, Edrin Cooper, Junior Colson, Cam Hart, Kalen King, Beanie Bishop, Jaden Hicks, and James Williams. How are you feeling about your team?
Yeah, we're going 17-0, baby. I'm just kidding. Not really. But I think that this is a team. I like the offense and the skill positions better than I do the secondary and the defense. But I do like my front five, actually, if you will, on the defensive side with my two defensive linemen, two defensive ends, and then I really like my linebackers as well. So I think spending my higher priority picks on the front seven on defense, and then at the skill position and in the passing game for the offense was, that's kind of what I wanted to do with this, and it worked out for me. So I'm pretty happy with it overall.
I like it. And just real quick before we close out, curious to get your thoughts on my team.
I really like it. It's got a good balance throughout. You weren't heavy in any one spot, I don't think. I actually like your secondary a lot more than mine. Really do. getting Quinyon Mitchell in there, Mustafa and Hicks, Beanie Bishop, and then Stiggers, the upside there is just tremendous. So you may actually have a group here where all five of these guys are starters at some point in their careers pretty quickly. So I really like that. And then Braden Fisk and Darius Robinson. If there's two more guys with more motor in this draft, let me know, because I don't think so. But I really like that. I think you and I kind of both, we both sat back and said the guards, the center, we can wait a little bit on our picks for that. Made sense there with the value we were getting. But I also like the Jaden Daniels pick. I haven't been as high on him throughout the process, but I think he landed in the best spot for him in Washington. And I like the supporting cast around him as far as the receivers go, and even the running back situation, but the offensive line does need some work still.
Yeah. I will say one position I wish I would have addressed a little bit more was edge rusher. Harrell and Kamara may get you by, but not the best run defending duo there, but this was a fun exercise, Jeremy. I hope you listeners enjoyed this. I know it's something that I always enjoy doing, and it's always fun doing it now, doing it every year here on The Fix. But Jeremy, before we get out of here, what do you have coming up for the Steel Curtain Network and Fans First Sports?
Yeah, I'm working on an article right now, Andrew. It's going to be a ton of fun to read, I think, because it's been a ton of fun to put the effort into. But I'm doing the AFC and NFC hierarchies over the next week, and working on the AFC right now, putting those together, ranking the teams 1 through 16, putting them in tiers. And I'm actually doing some stat stuff that I haven't done a lot before. I'm doing I'm putting the combined strength of schedules together for the teams and ranking them according to Vegas win totals for their opponents in 2024 and the finishing records from 2023 for each team's opponents in 2024, combining those together, taking the average and putting them in place. The Steelers have the toughest, Andrew, along with the Cleveland Browns. They have the toughest schedule if you combine those two together in the NFL. So it's going to be tough. We talk about this team much improved. It's going to be tough to get to 10 wins this season because the schedule is so much tougher on paper. It's going to be tough to get to that double-digit win. I think they can do it, but let's just not think all of a sudden that this team is that much better. They're going to win 13 games. It's probably not going to be that. They're going to struggle to win 10 in a really good AFC and with a very, very tough schedule. So we'll see how it all plays out, but working on that one for the AFC, working on that for the NFC. And then you probably won't hear me as much this next weekend for the Q&A and everything. I'll be out of town, but we'll be back for the shows next week on The Fix and continuing to work on the draft show for FFSN.
I have the way too early 2025 mock draft coming out, as well as the all draft teams like we talked about today. This version, as well as the list version, just going round by round with favorite selections from each one. So make sure you go and check those out. I kind of took a little bit of a week off just settling in after a long week of draft coverage. So we're back at it and have a lot more coming out. So make sure you check out fansfirstsports.com and steelcurtainnetwork.com, your one-stop shop for all things Steelers and the NFL. It was a fun one, Steelers fans. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, on the Steelers Fix.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.